Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
The founder of Panasonic once said,
"We can lead more meaningful and constructive lives
through the pursuit of activities that will ensure
a better today than yesterday,
a better tomorrow than today."
Panasonic is committed to creating a greener,
more equitable future
for everyone.
Explore Panasonic Green Impact
at na.panasonic.com/greenimpact.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Steven Rue.
Hello.
And Datto Does Destiny. Datto, how are you doing today?
I am doing very well, especially knowing that I'm going to go get a grilled cheese sandwich right after this. I'm very excited.
Nice. You may not know this, listeners, but there is an excellent grilled cheese place right next to the
IGN. It's so close. I was so surprised. I was
pretty
like,
good.
Oh, it's going to be so far away. Nope, it's right there.
They're
right
pretty there. Good. Thank you for stopping by the studio.
Hey, always a pleasure to come down here.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I'm here, I'm just like, hey, you want to be on the show?
And I'm a terrible guest planner, so it works out really well. Yeah. I'm like, oh, good, he's here. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, it's been long enough since I've been back. I feel like people are like, all right, yeah, you can go back on.
Welcome back.
So on today's show, we're going to be talking to you all about, let's see what we got here on the run of show, acquiring Thunderlord. We all got Thunderlord, the quest ended this week. Let's talk about that redonkulous weapon. We're going to talk about Black Armory, Season of the Forge, and we're going to take a whole bunch of questions that you guys had for Datto, for us in the comments, and go from there. Don't forget, you can watch this first on IGN, 5 p.m. every Friday, and then one day later on youtube.com/fireteamchat. All right, let's get right into it. So we all got Thunderlord. We got to mess around with it a little bit. I'm going to throw it to the guests first because this thing is ridiculous. Did you see the Riven clip?
I've lived the Riven clip.
No, nice. Okay.
This thing is so incredibly good. It stores so much ammo. It gets a ton of ammo in PvP. Like, this thing shreds really hard. They made the secret Firefly perk from D1, basically like the main perk now, where just any kill is like, all right, it's going to be like a Firefly effect. And I saw that and I was like, all right, it's probably just going to be a regular Dragonfly effect. And it's, nope, giant lightning AoE comes down. It chains on everything. One bullet kills like a ton of things. It absolutely destroys Riven. Other bosses it does fine too. Like Morgoth also gets destroyed. Mm-hmm. It is incredibly good.
Do you think they're going to adjust it?
Adjust?
It's working as intended, I think. I hope they leave it alone.
I don't see why they would need to adjust it in any way. I think the only adjustment they would need to make is lowering the amount of ammo you get in PvP, and that's maybe about it.
Yeah.
PvE, it's just – it's a menace.
It's not broken in a bad way. It's just really powerful.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the only machine you got an archetype that's back.
Yeah.
It feels great.
Oh, yeah. The whole archetype is back. One of my favorite archetypes from D1 because I always kill myself with rockets. So I love it.
Just in case.
Yeah
it's pretty cool.
What about you, Steven?
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah?
And we're all on PC, right?
Yeah.
Cosmodrome looks amazing in 144 frames per second.
Yes, the wall.
I really, really like that throwback. You talk a lot about how much you missed D1 and like the art style. This was basically copy paste for CJ.
Go in there. I mean, to me, even just the music, like when you're about to go into the final boss area there, it was super cool. So I do love these things when they, you know, tweak them a little bit. Yeah, there was some snow and stuff like that, so it wasn't exactly the same. But they had that kind of effect a little bit in Rise of Iron. But it was really cool to go back to that mission again and see it again. And, yeah, D2 form for sure.
Definitely. What did you think of the Cosmodrome mission? That was kind of a cool
throwback. It was really cool. Like, it was a nice little nostalgia moment. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been even better if it wasn't attached to a three-week-long sort of quest bounty thing that didn't really need to exist.
Thank you, Datto. Thank you, Datto.
That could have either been done the week of the Halloween event.
Thank you.
Or they could have made it like a Whisper of the Worm style thing where it was just like a secret thing that like, hey, you went into this lost sector and that like teleporter was active and someone was like, oh, what's this? And then they just go in and it's like, oh, and it just ripples through the community and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a cooler thing to do something like that instead of just this like, all right, go do some lost sectors, go kill a bunch of fallen and get some engrams 1 week at a time.
Yeah.
It would have been better if it was just its own thing, its own little secret thing. I don't know how difficult it is to hide that kind of stuff from data miners and all that. Because Whisper of the Worm wasn't found at all.
A lot of people already knew about Thunderlord.
Yes, Thunderlord was all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's all my community was talking about for quite a while.
Yeah.
With this quest. So I don't know how difficult it is. I assume it is very difficult, but it would have been better if it was just like a hidden little secret thing that came about.
That would have been really cool.
To the point that like even still I logged in and I figured it was that, but it says it right in the D2 launch menu for the PC. It's like, Thunderlord's back. I'm like, well, I wasn't like on Twitter for spoilers. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if it wasn't in the UI telling me, hey, it was here.
Yeah, it was on Twitter too, like 2 minutes before reset. I was like,
We were talking about this before the show. Bungie has a history of spoiling their best moments before you can even play the content. Okay, dies. Tower blows up. By the way, Thunderlord today.
Jumping off thing off Wrath of the Machine.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Preview.
So let's get into some of the questions and news. Let's talk about Season of the Forge. So all they really said is that we're going to get a new Vidoc explaining the next year of content, basically full gameplay calendar for the next year. And Season of the Forge is going to take place in the winter, I believe. Season of the Drifter will be the spring, and Season of the KD88, right? With like a sword, robots with swords. That looks pretty cool. We don't know what it's going to be, but I am intrigued by it. I'm glad we're getting a new Vidoc. We haven't had a good one in a while.
Yeah, it's awesome. Jim McQuillan, he's the guy behind the scenes on all those. Really great job. I mean,
we have a Jim.
All of them
funny story.
We
have a Jim McQuillan at IGN, and sometimes I accidentally email the Jim McQuillan from Bungie about IGN stuff, and he's like, hey, you got the wrong email.
That's awesome. Yeah. But all those Vidocs are amazing. Yeah, it's always nice to see what they do. And they did have little Easter eggs in them too, because you did see the clip of Thunderlord on the last one. So they did kind of give it away. And even they even retracted like, oh, we didn't mean to say machine guns. It's like, really?
Yeah.
I wonder now. So
Yeah. Apparently it was all fine. Does this do anything for you guys? We also know Black Armory is coming December 4th.
Surprise.
We just have like no info about these things, so we can tell you guys the news that these things are coming, but reaction wise,
I'm expecting like a huge Vidoc. I'm expecting like a Trials announcement or a Trials teaser.
Trials would be the tease, I think.
Yeah, hopefully they don't. Like, I'm expecting like a bunch of cool flash cuts and then at the end like Trials is back or something like that.
Yeah, but hopefully.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what to expect from Black Armory. I know a lot of people are saying Last Word's gonna be back, Icebreaker's gonna be back. Stuff like that. Have you seen stuff like that?
I mean, I've seen the rumor mill stirring, and you know, my community is always like, what do you think about this coming back and this coming back? Like, did Bungie say it's coming back? No, then I don't know now.
Yeah.
Like, I typically don't really talk on rumor stuff or data mine stuff just because I have to play things very carefully, because if I say something's coming, but it's just a rumor and then it doesn't, people come to me and they get angry at me, so I have to very, very much use ambiguous language a lot of the time to just be like, if it doesn't happen, you can't come yell at me. Yeah.
It's really fascinating what happens in the community. Like the D3 rumors were happening. It's literally like three responses. Very, very little bit of info to gather from that. I'm really careful about my sources. So like when we did it on the show, I'm like, here's what they said. Here's what we think could happen. What happens is we do that. A bunch of YouTubers do that. We start making guesses. Those guesses become fact, weirdly. Yep. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, you know, More Console said that this is 100% confirmed. And like, he never said that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That just kind of becomes the meta in the community. And it's like, nobody ever said that. It's literally like three things.
Yeah. I'll have people come into my chat every so often. It's like, did you hear about blah, blah, blah happening? I was like,
what's your source?
Where did you find that out? YouTube video. All right. What's their source?
Thank
like,
you.
Okay, so you have no source. It's just something that someone said. Mm-hmm. If they don't have a source, then I don't buy it.
And
I'm very, very careful with that because the last thing I want to do is set any expectations for a thing that I don't even make.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm making the thing. I just report on it. That's all I do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something I actively try to stay away from is just any sort of rumors, any sort of data mine, stuff like that. I stay away.
And we did kind of figure it was Thunderlord. We even didn't even want to say or like, oh, the rumor is, but that's what I mean. And then
we
again,
got flamed for
something. I know. And exactly. And that's
people
my point
that we were saying. The rumor is it's Thunderlord.
Yeah.
People were like flaming us like, oh, this guy's never been wrong. You guys don't do your research. Like,
no. It's like, yeah, it's a rumor. Like, you can't like treat it as fact.
Right.
So, but.
So let's talk about questions from the community. So we had some interesting questions. There's not much more to go on based off of what we have from those other stories. They're on the way.
I literally have nothing on Black Armory at all.
Yeah.
Like, I have not heard a peep about it.
I thought about it more. I was on DCP yesterday, and I thought about it more. I want them to bring back anything we had in D1 and just add it to the weapon collection because we were so sparse on the Forsaken amount of weapons that we got. Just bring back everything in D1 that's been retired with Black Armory.
Well, not only that, like how many exotic weapons have you guys actually got? Like I've been playing a fair amount. I have Two-Tailed Fox and that is it. I'm even armor. Like how many armor/exotic weapons do you have?
One Forsaken exotic armor piece.
That's insane because how many hours have you played?
A lot.
You've played tons. And what about you?
Up until last Tuesday, I only had two exotic armor pieces total. Wow. I had a lot of the weapons. And I think I might have all the weapons. But in terms of armor pieces, I had One-Eyed Mask and like the sixth Coyote. And that's it.
So the grind is pretty real. So yeah, can we maybe talk about that? Like, do you like that? Like, we talked about exotics being maybe a little bit more coveted. This helps that, but I mean, is there a question that you wanted to address?
No, so the reason the grind is real is because there's not a lot to get, so they kind of had to throttle the amount of stuff that they give players, I think. However, I think what they should do with Black Armory is overcompensate and just like give you everything. Like bring back, because this would be setting them up for D3 should our progress carry over.
Right. But to me, random rolls was some of the reason why, right? Like we've talked about that, played a little bit of a supplemental grind per se to get different things. So even though if you maybe didn't have a huge loot pool, you had random rolls, which would help you get, I mean, like you've said, Rampage, Outlaw, and what are the other ones that basically you're searching for?
Yeah.
But
yeah. I don't know. With Black Armory, I just want a huge weapon pool.
Are you saying bring back stuff from Destiny 1 or Year 2 Destiny 2, like those armor sets?
I'm saying bring everything back. Okay. All the legendaries, all the exotics. Give us this massive loot pool with Black Armory with several coveted weapons.
That's
that
the
people
ones
are going
to
chase for.
Is what he's saying.
We already have Fatebringer.
We do, exactly. Yeah, I guess.
It's like called something different. But
yeah.
A lot of this Nation of Beasts.
Yeah.
A lot of those things, can be, like, those weapons can be recreated because there's only so many archetypes of weapons that can even exist, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could bring back certain weapon models maybe from Destiny 1.
Like the Vanquisher and Shadow Price, they were so close archetype-wise. So,
yeah. But like that's also something that you could recreate as a new weapon in Destiny 2 if you wanted to. So yeah, I understand that nostalgia hit. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if we saw some Year 1 Destiny 2 stuff or Destiny 1 stuff with Black Armory. But I'm not like the most like bring everything back from Destiny 1 like and all that. Like I don't mind that they want to make new stuff because I don't want people to get too caught up in that nostalgia stuff where it's like remake the entire game and put it in this and like let's go back to the Cosmodrome. It's like okay, but also like I view it as like I've been there. Like I experienced that. I want to see what the new stuff, like what new things can you make?
Yeah.
So I'm purposely setting myself up to transition to the next question. So we're going to go right into it. The question that the community has posed is, can Destiny 3 be successful with what they've done with Destiny 2? They've alienated a lot of the community. They've leaned more into the hardcore. Can they bring everybody back in a celebration? Now, I have a theory that if with the armory and the subsequent DLCs, they bring back everything from D1, we can carry that over to D3 and they don't have to do a scorched earth reset.
Now, when you say everything, are you talking like raids as well and all that stuff? Or are you just talking like armor and weapons?
I'm talking weapons and armor and such.
Oh, okay.
So, to acquire. Raids would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, me either. I mean, but I mean, like, to Data's point, in a way, like, I feel like that's some of what's happening in a way, and it's kind of good and bad, because when they bring it back, especially if they don't name it the same, but it looks the same, it's kind of dubbed as a reskin.
Exactly.
So then it turns into this like, oh, well, you brought it back, but it's kind of not really much different. I will say that I think the perk variety, if there was some way to bring it back and create new perks, that is something that I think if they were able to do that in a way that was really meaningful, because like you said, you're chasing a few amount of perks right now, more so almost than the weapons.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Dado? How could they make Destiny 3 successful? And I'll find where the question was from.
I mean, that's
Ma Wood. Well, let me just think about
said,
that one.
Ma Wood's specific question was, what can we do to ensure D3 launch doesn't turn out like D2 launch? And then there was a John Fisher said, how do people deviate from the negative stigma Destiny created with year one of Destiny 2 timeline and continue to establish a better environment many of us hardcore fans live in, but to extend its reach out to the casual audience and beyond? This is what Activision's struggling with, Bungie's struggling with. What are your thoughts? It's a loaded question.
That's the billion-dollar question right there.
Elevator, 60 seconds.
It's just like, I mean, people have been burned on this game a lot. I talked about this when Activision kind of talked about they were disappointed with Forsaken sales. Also, I've seen a lot of people say like, oh, Activision was disappointed with Forsaken. No, they said sales,
right? Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's a very big difference. Very big difference. People have been burned a lot. They were burned on Destiny 1 launch, maybe sort of burned on that next Dark Below DLC. Mm-hmm. Then Destiny 2 comes out and people kind of got burned on that. And then Curse of Osiris came out and that was
I think Curse of Osiris was the real rub personally.
Yeah.
D2 launch, most people were happy with until they got into late game.
Right.
Right. Then they kind of like ran out of things to do and they realized it was fairly light on overall content.
And what we would say is the hardcore felt that way because we had a bunch of people in our office who we, and again, Steve and I talk about this with Destiny 2, we label people hardcore, casual. There's a couple other labels and like people kind of are in between those groups, but there's a lot of people who got into Destiny 2 year one and really liked it, but they did not approach it from a, I'm going to come back week to week, experience it and leave. So.
Right.
But I interrupted what you were saying. Oh. Sorry, please.
No, no, it's fine. How do you bring back people a third, a fourth time into this franchise? People are not going to be willing to just drop another $60. All I ever hear about this game on the internet is how much money it costs for people to actually get a game that's worthy of being the game, right? That's all I ever hear. So I don't know if you really bring back that super wide audience without first making sure that the game is in a really good state. And that's kind of what Forsaken is right now. And they need to keep building on that and make sure that people are happy, the dedicated audience is happy, because that dedicated audience will try to pull people in from the outside to come join them. I think making the game free, the base game free on PC was a very good move.
Yeah.
I think they should just do that everywhere. Just make it free, make the base game free for every platform.
Where's the Xbox love? Xbox, it's never been free on it. It hasn't even really been discounted that much. It looked like they had a discount for a while with Humble Bundle, maybe.
Yeah.
That might have been the PC version. Yeah, just support Xbox also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm.
Mike N elaborated. He said, not what Destiny 3 should have, but whether it should exist at all. What about that concept of staying in the Destiny 2 engine and continuing to evolve from where we're at?
I'll tee you up. We talked about this a little bit last week. Steven and I were saying how it was a console launch. And so from that standpoint, it's really hard to think of like the technology being able to evolve to a point that, you know, even Sony yesterday canceled their PlayStation appearance. So we're thinking, oh, PS5, is that in the works? how do they do that and bridge it over multiple years over the next 3 to 5? I think that's difficult. So I don't know if they can really do that now.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is going to come down to, you know, is progress going to carry over? Like, what from Destiny 2 is actually going to matter in Destiny 3? I think that's another thing that people are scared of, mm-hmm. is they don't want to hop in, you know, maybe halfway through Destiny 2 at this point, level all their stuff up and get invested, and then it's wiped again, right? Because mm-hmm. what did we get really from Destiny 1 carrying over our Destiny 1 characters into Destiny 2? Like an emblem or – I don't even remember
Shaq what we says got. He remembers you, I think.
Yeah.
Like I don't even remember what we got. So
– and I moved the PC, so I lost it all anyway.
Right. Same.
That too. Yeah.
So are you saying that you are a fan of keeping everything for Destiny 3?
See, I'm kind of both ways. Like I like – I would like if things like Triumph Score and those kind of achievement things kind of carried over, and just the ability to kind of show your history mm-hmm. in the game. I like that. Mm-hmm. But I also don't mind like having those fresh starts. Like when I played World of Warcraft and a new expansion comes out, it's nice because you just get to drop all of your stuff into a pit, you cover it up, and you start getting all the new stuff. And to mm-hmm. me, that's fun. Other people, not so much. Other people like to hang on to anything that they can, and you know, that all depends on what kind of player you are.
Yeah.
I think the overwhelming majority would prefer to hang on to their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does Destiny 3 need to exist? Maybe for some sort of technical or networking reason it does, but for a content reason, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly sexier from a marketing standpoint to put a big old 3
right.
on there.
Yeah.
Than just like Destiny, name of next expansion.
Yeah.
I think Destiny 3 will launch, and that's going to be the last thing they develop for Destiny by Bungie. I don't know if they'll spin off the series after that, but it is a 10-year franchise, and Destiny 3 and the tail support after Destiny 3 launches would bring them right to the end of that life cycle that they agreed to with Activision.
Yeah.
Now, we already know they have an agreement with
Ease.
I couldn't remember. Yeah. But they're developing something over there, so maybe the team is ready to transition onto that. We don't know for sure, but I think Destiny 3 will be the last one. And the way it could be successful is the book mechanic that they've developed, and they haven't refined yet since the launch of the book where you can pull your weapons and gear out because you can't pull out random rolls. They don't know what to do with that yet.
Yeah.
Once they fix that, that's what they need to bring into D3. So you never feel like you lose everything. So that way you're still stripped, but you don't feel like you've been robbed of your old stuff.
Yeah, maybe, your history.
Exactly.
People like that history.
Exactly. So come up with some new weapon archetypes, and cool new weapons and things that we can chase after in Destiny 3, but let us have that security blanket of our old stuff. Because, like, if I lose all my progress again, I'm just like, it'll detract so much.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's some of the motivational thing that's happening right now is people do psychologically think that that's going to happen in the background, and it's actually deterring them from grinding out things, I think, in Destiny 2.
That's how I feel.
Okay, there you go. So I was wondering that. But in the same token, it's weird because – you know, I think they've already kind of struggled enough with the meta already. You're saying you want all the weapons to be available in Destiny 3 that you had in Destiny 2?
Yes. And so let's look at what's going on with Destiny.
It's all order.
Right? No, I know. But they can just put it all in a book and say, you're going to pull out 5, right? But you feel like they recognize the work that you put in Destiny 2 and it progresses forward if they use that model.
But imagine actually catering the game to everything that Destiny 2 had when you're trying to start – not scorched earth, but create new raids or new this based on stuff that people haven't acquired yet. And
you make better gear and weapons and make the old stuff obsolete, but you still make people feel safe because, oh, yeah, I can still pull this out. It's like what happened with this new Forsaken launch, right? There were a few weapons that we pulled out, like Inaugural Address was one that like everybody used. But realistically, how much year one stuff do you use? We probably have our God Roll. What's the grenade launcher?
He's one.
Play of the game.
One. Yeah.
Maybe you still check out Inaugural.
Oh, but those got random roll adjusted.
Zero.
Yeah.
I keep telling myself I'm going to pull out the Midnight Coup every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I never do.
Yeah.
So I think I effectively use zero. Play of the game, doesn't count because I have a random roll now.
Yeah.
Yeah, zero.
Time Worn Spire. I still do Time Worn Spire, and I still use Wise and Rebuke because it's basically Plan C. But all I'm getting at is I don't know how they would be able to do that, creating a brand new weapon meta and trying to factor in all of those. But I'm a hoarder. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I also would like that. I'm just trying to think from a development standpoint, how is that actually possible?
You put them in a book, like...
I don't know. I mean,
let's be honest. A lot of those weapons are just reskins. We were talking about weapon archetypes
they brought back,
earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shadow Price and Vanquisher from D1 are they're both assault rifles with tweaked variables, right?
Right.
And maybe a different geometry. So that's a different geometry thing. But if all of those weapons end up being what's a good AR in D2? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Tiger Spite.
Yeah. Tiger Spite. So like that's the archetype. For those.
I think I probably agree with you on the exotic front. If the exotics maybe carried over, because a lot of those exotics came back anyways. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you'd actually do it for all the legendaries and feel like you could actually balance the game for PvE and PvP if that's indeed what they're going to try to do.
Okay, maybe not all. They have the stats to back it up. They can be like 5% of players actually used that when they got it.
Yeah.
So like a lot of that stuff would just slide into the ocean of lost data. Anyway, sorry. I feel like my thought is taking up a lot of the conversation. What about you, Steven? What would you like to see in D3?
Like I said in previous episodes, I don't mind us starting over as long as Dato said we get like our triumphs, grimoire score, stuff like that. But in terms of gear, for me, it's exciting to start as a guardian with nothing and getting all that gear.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want to like load up and have my nation of beasts already. Like I kind of like that fresh start. And I know, like Dato said, it's not a popular opinion. I think.
No, yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, I think the majority of people want everything. But, like, I'm in the mindset where if I'm the consumer or I'm trying to sell to a new audience and you have all these stipulations attached to, like, if you're a D2 player, you get all this stuff. That turns off a player that's trying to get into D3 for the first time that has not played D1 or D2.
Mm-hmm.
I said that before. And I just think it's easier and it makes more sense for them as a company just to start over.
It does for them. I don't want to talk about what's easy for Bungie though.
Yeah.
We got to think about what's marketable and what's going to bring back the casual and hardcore together.
To kind of expand on his point, if a new player wants to maybe start getting invested into Destiny and there is no Destiny 3, they just see like, all right, Forsaken came out, and then a whole bunch of annual pass stuff, and then there's like another expansion that came out. They just see like Destiny 2 expansion, content drop, expansion, and they're like, I'd be trying to go in way too deep, and like there's too much stuff there. I don't want to. But
that's
Destiny 3 comes out, fresh start. It's like okay, I could start at the beginning like everybody else. I can be on the same page as everyone else, no matter what their progress was.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm new, I can kind of catch up and learn everything. That's something I did with Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah.
Is I played Legion a little bit, but I didn't really want to get too invested because I knew how far behind I was and like all the new things that came out, and I didn't want to try to keep up with the dedicated audience already. But then BFA comes around and I'm like, okay, now we're all equals. We can all learn together. Mm-hmm. And it's a much easier time when you're learning things with the entire community as opposed to try and go learn things by yourself.
And that's a real thing. Like I understand what you're talking about and I understand why people want all their stuff back. But even right now, even in Forsaken, like Sydney Goodman, I try to get her to play Destiny and she doesn't play because she's already too behind in Forsaken.
Yeah.
Like,
in Forsaken. It's, like it's been a few weeks. Yeah.
Like it is a real mindset. And I think just like the fresh start D3, everyone starts over, nothing's attached. I think that is more appealing to a wider audience. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think they might have to do that.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say, I think it's more the quality of life things. Like there's a lot of stuff between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2 that they made that were changes that were kind of good, but then it's like they forgot some of the deeper mechanics. So I think that definitely you want to have a lot of what's in Destiny 1 in Destiny 2, a lot of what you said, like Triumph books and all that stuff in Destiny 2. But then, yeah, even maybe a little bit more deeper customization, like even the the skill trees. The skill trees, like I think that to me feels like a little bit of a misstep for Destiny 2 because I think it removed the customization. Like it was a nice entry point, but it needs to be maybe a little bit more customizable, or there needs to be, some perks or something that allow you to do different things in that regard.
If you saw the Anthem customization stream that they did yesterday versus the customization options of it. In Destiny.
I know.
It's night and day.
It is. And again, I understand why. I know some of it, again, was to not overwhelm people, because it is overwhelming. Like, even when you jump into Destiny 2 right now, when you're loading up all the different things and the triumphs and then your mods and all the rest of that stuff, to actually understand it. And it's always, unfortunately, a little bit convoluted, which is the reason why I liked, Steven, I've talked about this too, the Destiny 1 stat, when you have int disc strength and there's actual physical numbers, not, it reduces this by 25%. Like, what does that mean to me?
Bungie is afraid of numbers. I don't know why. They're just afraid of telling people exactly I've spoken with a couple of them, and they like to go on the feel factor, right? Like, does this gun feel good to use? Then you should use it. I'm like, you know what would feel nice? Knowing what this did.
Number. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm not saying it's bad, but I think those are the things where, yeah, if I'm stacking mods, I want to know that it's actually doing something, not some random arbitrary thing. Oh, it doesn't your intellect discipline strength doesn't go over 300. How would I know that? I wouldn't know that if you didn't tell me, and so I hope they're a little bit more transparent on some of those details.
I just want to chime in. Do you play Warframe, Datto?
I've tried to dive in every now and then, but like, I'm slightly familiar with it, but I don't actively play. No.
Okay. Now, I might be wrong about this, but I don't think PvP is a big factor in Warframe. I think it's
not a whole lot.
It's all PvE, and then you guys were talking about Anthem just a few seconds ago. What those games have in common is it's heavily focused in PvE. Mm-hmm. Destiny has always had a problem with breaking something in PvE and vice versa to PvP. Mm-hmm. I think if they heavily just lean into PvE, we can have all these customizations, all these mods, all these like subclass clusters. If you have all that, you potentially just break the crap out of PvP, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, along with balancing between casual and hardcore, has always been Destiny's problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm a huge PvP fan,
yeah.
But in Destiny 3, I hope they just go all deep in PvE.
So there's a way to...
That is also an unpopular opinion, by the way.
Yeah.
There is a way to do that without separating the two, I think.
Mm-hmm. Separating it?
Correct.
Okay.
You could just have separate progression in PvP. I mean, there are design options there. That's just one that isn't necessarily good, but there are ways that you can do that. The special sauce about Destiny is, though, that all of your progress sort of
helps
you. That's
intertwined,
there.
Yeah.
It's in Final Fantasy VII, like, the fantasy would have been, like, leveling up your character and then fighting somebody else.
Thanks, Fran.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, no, it's like, I love that you can grind for a gun in PvE and then bring it over to PvP and use it, vice versa. But it's just, like, it's hard for me to see how they could balance a game. And, like, Thunderlord is amazing in PvE. Mm-hmm. That's a bad example.
Like PvP too.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just like, I don't understand. Like, if you could somehow spec your subclass to like Night Stalker Tether with like the DOT smoke that the Spectral Blades has and like a bunch of other stuff, I feel like it would be way too overpowered in PvP.
Oh, if you like broke apart all the different subclasses and you could rearrange them? Things would be absolutely broken.
Yeah, and it's just like that is the problem I think Bungie is always treading along, and I don't understand how you can do that with a game that's so ambitious in PvP and PvE.
Well, let's talk about another problem, PvP related. Bungie took away Trials of Osiris when it launched Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. It made us wait a while, and then it launched Trials of Osiris in Destiny 2, which was not met with as much fanfare. Let's talk about how they should bring back Trials of Osiris. And I'll start because I think I have a pretty good answer.
All right.
Bring back Destiny 1 Trials of Osiris. That's all you have to do. Why did you ever shut it off? You just took it away, and you took it away at such a vulnerable time for the Destiny audience. Like, Battle Royales are out, everybody's playing PUBG, and you take away your coveted multiplayer experience and then launch an experience that isn't anywhere near what the original was. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Get rid of stickies, get rid of shoulder charges.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Yeah. I will say, and we've talked about this a number of times. We actually hinted on it last week. I was waiting for you to do this last week, actually. Let's get into it a little bit. Yeah. Year 3 trials, I would say, got a little bit nerfed as well, too, because of the special weapon economy. So it did change how the game actually felt and played. And for the most part, I would think that probably year 1 and year 2 trials were probably received as like the best trials experiences. But I get them wanting to innovate a little bit because we heard even rumors, Destin, when we were there at the reveal, it's just a reskin. Destiny itself. Like, Destiny 2 is like, oh, it's just the same old thing, and it's a little bit of extra characters.
You feel like innovation means survival and what's it called? I don't even know, remember what it's
countdown.
Called. And countdown? That's not innovative to me. You just threw some extra mechanics in there.
Well, so here's the thing. I think that's some of what the challenge was with it.
And they also eliminated elimination, period.
Right.
You can't play that game mode anymore. What?
Yeah.
So you have this coveted experience that everybody loves, and you literally can't play that in Destiny 2. Sorry.
Yeah. That I agree with.
Crazy.
I will say, like, if Trials of the Nine wanted to be its own thing, and that was maybe it was every other weekend, or if it was Trials of the Nine and of Osiris, I was hoping that, like, I get them wanting to do something to it, to spice it up, to make it different within the context of having something new, because it's Destiny 2.
Nobody plays Trials of the Nine. Get rid of it.
But that's a Destin Legary. No, but that's the thing. Trials of the Nine, especially Countdown. Let's focus on Countdown. Even that game mode with picking up, you know, to try to like defend or
it's bad.
No,
am I unpopular for saying like I don't mind Countdown? I think it's kind of fun.
Okay, so
it's fine. It shouldn't be the Trials of Osiris experience.
That's what I think. Only because this, I've said a number of times when I watch Overwatch, because a lot of games are being watched now. I find Overwatch very complicated to understand. Fortnite is awesome because it's easy to understand. This person died. Trials of Osiris was great because it was three people, kill the three people. It's very easy to understand. So from a gameplay experience, it was great to play, but also from a viewing experience, it was easy to understand. That's a little bit lost in each of those game modes, Countdown as well as Survival.
Ignore my rant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Counter-Strike?
Yes, I mean, but
Counter-Strike is right? Shoot, gun, plant, bomb. That's exactly what Countdown is.
It is, but I think that when you've had the memory of Trials previous,
okay,
and it was rezzing, no tokens, no any of these other little details, I think psychologically when you take them away and then you try to do something else, it's like, that's the reason why I think Survival's fine. Totally different. Mm-hmm. But they eliminated elimination, and then they kind of tweaked it to be something else. And that is – yeah, I agree with you in that sense. I'm not a fan – you like Countdown more than elimination?
That's a tough call.
See, that's the thing.
Tough call.
Yeah,
that's the point I'm really trying to make. I think Countdown should have been its own mode that people could partake in, and they should have left Trials of Osiris alone. I literally wrote an article that says Destiny's Trials of Osiris redefines PvP. And that's how the community felt. It was what everybody did. It was the lifeblood of Destiny, and they just were like, it's gone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm kind of with you. Like, I understand, like, wanting to try something different.
Yeah.
But at this point, like, if there's enough people clamoring for elimination to come back, why not just give it a shot for season 5 and
exactly.
See how it works? And then, you know what? If people are like, it turns out we don't like it after all.
Yeah.
Let's go back to something else. Then they can, for season 6, they can go back to something else.
3, 4 people in it. What would you do?
3.
Oh. Mm. I think if you were trying to make it like elimination from D1, you would have to do 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you'd have to.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going
to
take –
and I meant carbon copy. It has to be 3v3. The 4-player thing is just too many people on the field.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a small fire team going against another small fire team.
Right.
Sorry, Steph.
I'm going to go on a little rant.
Go for it.
I'm going to take off my rose-colored glasses, okay?
Yeah.
Year 3 Trials was not good.
Yeah,
I agree.
Special.
Yes,
like everyone is just like, oh my god, Trials! Like we'd still be playing Trials. I remember Lumi forcing himself to stream every day Trials. He hated every second of it. He would never
sidearms,
but you could tell he hated. No Land Beyond, Sticky, Sidearms, Stormcallers with the scories,
a lot of icebreakers, right?
Icebreakers. Yeah. Like it was not fun, and I don't know why. People are thinking of Elimination 3v3, those hero moments, and that was fine. Like year 1, year 2 of Trials was awesome.
Yeah.
And year 3 of Trials was not fun. It was not.
Sticky, shoulder charges, special ammo. Those were problems.
It was not. It was not fun waiting for special ammo. It was not fun switching your sidearm at the end of the round. None of that was fun. Year 3 Trials was terrible. That's what
I teed it up.
I agree.
Also,
no, you're right. Also, I'm talking about the good version of Trials.
Yes.
Yeah,
so everybody knows.
Yeah, we just need to separate the game mode itself from all. I think Gambit has that problem. A lot of people say, oh, Gambit's terrible. It's like, no, Gambit itself is great.
Yes.
The things that happen to encompass Gambit,
exactly.
The weapons and balance and stuff, that's the kind of thing that sucks.
Also, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
D2 Year 1 PvP was a product of feedback from D1. Mm-hmm. And as much as people say, oh, we didn't ask for this, you might have not asked indirectly for this, but I remember when they announced all these changes, because at the end of Destiny 1, a lot of competitive players were playing 4v4 pubs or custom matches, and that everybody loved watching that stuff, which is why they went 4v4, because they thought it was a good idea. They turned it more into Halo, but it doesn't work when you're a superhero guardian with all these powers and stuff like that. They want fast-paced action. But at the time when they announced all these changes, and like Datto said, when they announced Countdown, everyone was like, oh my God, this is CSGO. This is going to become like an esport. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. Everyone was so happy. Obviously, it didn't turn out that way. Like, I was excited too.
Yeah.
But once we actually got time with the product, we've discovered this is not the Destiny we love. We love fast paced action, one shot, lower time to kill.
It's our fault, Steven. I hear you.
I've heard that feedback before. That Destiny 2 is a product of our feedback, right?
Yeah, and
our, like, everybody's.
And it's like they made trials for that. I don't know why they got rid of elimination, but I understand when they announced trials was Countdown and Survival, people were pretty excited.
And it was fun to do once or twice.
Yeah, but it turns out it didn't work out, so they got rid of it. They're working it back. I would be shocked if we didn't get trials with elimination. Mm-hmm. I am curious to see, though, because these maps are designed for for eight players, right? So if you brought back 3v3 elimination, would it play the same?
Burning Shrine's still there?
I think they're small enough, or most maps are small enough that I think it would mainly play the same. But I definitely see your point. Like, we don't have like maps like Memento anymore.
Just because they bring back 3v3 elimination, and that would be an improvement over what we used to have, it doesn't mean it would be like back in the glory days, right?
Right.
Like,
well, yeah. I worry that they can't recapture that, but that would be their best bet, in my opinion. The fact that elimination was just eliminated is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why did you get rid of the best thing you've ever created?
That I don't understand. I don't know why they got rid of that game mode. Mm-hmm. Also, please don't bring back player intros.
I want longer player intros.
They were cool
the first time.
The very first couple of times. And then it's just like, all right, another minute.
Well, skip. Or both skip if you both hit the circle.
Yeah, like they do in Rocket League with goal replays. Like, if everyone hits it, it's like, okay, skip.
Skip.
I'm just saying, like, everyone needs to get out of this like mindset.
Rose color.
Trials was so amazing. It was not. I hated year three trials. See, I used to play with CJ every weekend, and how often did I play with you at the tail end of
trials? Yeah, in the last year three, barely at all. But
when it was good. Stuck.
Yeah.
No Land Beyond. Fusion Run. Stormcaller, just run. It wasn't fun.
All right. So to wrap up your point, how should they bring back trials?
I think they need a new like Datto said before, I don't like the boons. I don't like that you start off with three wins. I can see.
Oh, I forgot to clarify my point on that. The boon thing, the only reason I want that brought back is because their networking is not great.
The mercy boon.
They need to figure that out. And
they
some
do need
way
to figure
to
it out
be
because it is very, and this is, it's pretty, I see it a lot in count, or not in countdown, in competitive. A lot of people DDoS you, and it is very frustrating to get to the tail end of the card.
Yes.
Especially sitting through all those player intros and getting DDoSed. Having to just wipe your entire card. I understand the frustration of that.
Yeah.
I don't like how you just start with three wins because you have an item in your inventory.
It's, I mean, it just felt like, look, everyone's going to get these items every single time. Yes. You only need to get seven wins, even though it says nine wins on the card.
Yeah.
Cut that all out.
I agree.
And just make it seven wins. Yes. Like, that's it. Yeah. I'm totally on board.
Yeah.
With you.
And with the mercy thing, I understand that. But at the same time, I understand why they took away the mercy because it does feel like you did something better if you had a flawless, truly flawless card.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So what's your answer? How do they bring it back?
I think they need to, well, it'd be nice if they had a PTR so we could test 40.
Crucible Labs was going to be that. Yeah.
I think they do need to bring back 3v3. And I never liked heavy ammo round in trials either.
Right. That brings a huge element of the change if they include a power ammo thing on every
weapon
round.
Weapon sandbox is completely different now. Like,
it is.
We don't know how it can turn out. So 3v3 elimination, get rid of the boons, maybe keep the mercy. And I would love to see like a, what's it called? A reputation system, kind of like what Gambit has. Yeah.
What about you, Datto? How would it work?
I am not the correct person to be asking this, but no, I'm kind of with you. Just like they got to experiment more, they got to just try some stuff out. Like, was the game mode? Were the game modes themselves the reason why you didn't like playing Trials? Was that it? I'm asking.
Yep.
The game modes itself.
Okay. You didn't like Countdown.
It was 4v4. It was the sandbox problems. You just
inherently prefer 3v3 elimination over 4v4 like Countdown.
I would play with CJ and Clickit and Fran and maybe even Steven a few times. I don't remember though. Did we ever play together in D1? A
couple times.
Yeah. So I would just play with good players and it would still be challenging. We would have a good player on our team to help us out. But, yeah, I still felt like I was contributing. If I didn't contribute, we don't win. And it was a really, really well-balanced experience for me. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think they just got to maybe experiment with some of the – I mean, they've been doing a lot of experimenting with Breakthrough. Community hasn't really received it too well.
Oh, the community loves
Breakthrough. I think at least give it a shot with elimination. I've heard zero news on what they plan on trying out at all. Mm-hmm. So,
or even if it's coming
that
back,
says
or even if
Trials back. Is coming back.
I do not know. Trials is coming back. Please. I've never been a Trials connoisseur or anything like that. I just kind of played, you know, if my friends wanted to play and that was it. So,
yeah. I'll say this. I do want it to be – I want them to bring it back in the flavor of D2, like D1 to D2. I would love for it to be elimination. Get rid of the res token. I don't like that. I like the longer res timer, the more you die. That's fine. As well as when you're picking up a teammate, get rid of the taking damage pickup. There's no res sniping in Trials anymore. Res sniping was fun. It was a huge part of the game, like sliding people out of the way when they're getting res. I don't mind when the pickup timer resets when you're going for power ammo and you get heavy. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when you're doing that when you're picking up a person. It eliminated a huge part of the gameplay that was really kind of strategic in that sense. And then the last thing is just power ammo. I'm not sure. I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I don't think I would bring it back in the rounds at all. So it's like no power ammo at all.
People waved at the beginning of D1.
They never used it. So I'm fine if it's brought back almost the same with those tweaks and then see how that plays out. And then from there, make it just elimination. Like no swapping game modes to actually go back and forth between the thing being like it could be Countdown or it could be whatever when you load it in. Psychologically, it's hard to get into a game mode when it's not the same. So I want it to be elimination every time.
Power ammo is a weird, bizarre problem to me because right now you just shoulder charge people out of the way to get it. And it causes like this friction within
your
own
teammate.
It's really, really weird. And I'm like, why would you make this design decision? Like, this is a fun gameplay loop, fighting over power ammo with your friends. I think they thought strategically I would be like, oh, let Steven have
Here
the power
you go.
Ammo.
Well,
but when I'm playing casually, I'm going to fight over
it. Casually, Trials is not something that's casually played.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. So I think it would work in Trials because you would give it to your one player.
I agree with that. I think it's the one round, the one power ammo round, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
the one
fair.
Round.
That's
if it's spawning every round like it does in competitive.
No.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Dustin, I don't know if we have time in the show.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions.
Okay.
And about 50 minutes.
I really want to hit on Dylan's comment, DMG.
Oh,
That's where I'm going next. So let's go right into it.
What a segue.
We want to talk about Gambit. Gambit got some changes, and I'm a little bit concerned, but I want to hear from the panel. Basically, they aren't going to have the catch-up mechanic anymore, but you are going to get more points for bounties. You're going to get new special weapon rewards and legendary rewards on rank up. What does everybody think? I'll start with my concern.
Sure.
Basically, the only thing I'm worried about is that catch-up mechanic. I think that created a lot of really cool moments where even though you were behind, you had a chance to catch up. And now that you only get one stack, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. Basically, you spawn first, you win. Datto, you're a math guy. What do you think?
I think you should be rewarded for winning.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the catch-up mechanic right now. I've won a lot of games where we fell behind super hard and we had no business winning.
Yeah.
But because we had that disadvantage of being behind and the catch-up mechanic, you can win those games, which feels really bad as the team that was actually winning and doing things correctly. Like, you invaded. You killed a bunch of people with moats. You kept invading. You kept, you stayed ahead of the moats curve. You killed all the adds. Mm-hmm. And then the other team happens to get to invade you every, 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they slowly can catch back up. And then as soon as their guy spawns, they just burn all their supers and they kill it instantly, and, yeah, and you're it, and you're just done.
Did they throttle it too much is what I want to know.
That we'll find out as soon as it comes out. Yeah. I don't know. I think one stack is fine. Mm-hmm. I never thought that it should be as much as it was. Like, granted, he gives an example in the weekly update that was like, if one team has like seven and the other team gets it, finally they get four. You don't need seven stacks to kill the freaking boss. Most people are killing them with one or two stacks now. Yeah. Like, whenever I roll with a group, we have, you know, me on Melting Point.
Yeah, Melting Point,
one Shotgun, Blade Mirage, and then a couple of Chaos Reaches, and we just insta-kill the boss. But the catch mechanic has affected the gameplay to such a degree where we literally feel like we have to do that now, just the burn, like insta-burn on a boss, mm-hmm, where we'll wait for someone to invade us, wait for them to leave, and then like, okay, everybody alive, and completely crush the boss instantly, mm-hmm, because otherwise you just keep getting invaded over and over and over. And I get part of it is like, you got to kill the invader. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. But with all the weapons that are available, 1,000 voices, Queen Breakers. Mm-hmm. Sleeper was a problem for a while. I didn't want to say Queen Breakers was going to become the next problem because everyone was going to start using it right away. Yeah. And it started to happen already.
Yeah.
And so you have like such a big advantage, mm-hmm, as the invader, just being able to pop in. I've been killed before the Drifter even finishes the announcement that Vader is there.
Yeah.
So that a lot of people are saying, like, don't give them wall hacks, or maybe lessen the effect. I think a pulsing sort of wall hack thing, mm-hmm, would be better, where like it ticks every couple of seconds.
Yeah.
So that way you don't have a complete lock on everyone. But at the same time, if you do it too much, then it's a 4v1, mm-hmm, and you have an overshield, like, big freaking deal.
Here's how every Gambit match goes for me, basically, right? Basically, it's you take out the side guys for the buff. You're like, all right, wait for the invade. There he is. Is he down? All right, Mel.
Yeah.
Match over.
That's how it feels like you have to, mm-hmm, because otherwise you're just going to get just slowly beaten down because of this catch-up mechanic. You're still getting taken guys sent into you, and you're still getting waves of ads coming in, and then you got Queen Breaker with 10 shots coming in to invade you, and just it stacks up. So I think the people who are winning should feel like they are going to win as long as they keep playing well, and that it shouldn't almost feel like an advantage to be slightly behind.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't feel good as the team that's doing well.
What about you, Steven? You really want to talk about this? What do you got to say?
So I do think right now it's way too generous. Like, there are times where you are at like 20 motes and they've already summoned their primeval and we've come back and won, as long as you have good invades. That feels really crappy for the team that was slain now. But I worry that the example they use is if they have seven stacks, the other team would get one now.
Yes.
I believe that's the example they used. But I'm worried that if a team, and I do agree with you, you should be rewarded for winning. But I'm worried that if you get so far ahead of the other team will just go AFK.
That's what I would do. I'm like,
I will say that the catch mechanic does give you solos incentive versus group.
Yes.
Like, you can actually win as a group of solos by versus yourself, a full team with that catch-up mechanic. And it's sort of like a necessary evil.
And I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no perfect answer, but I think Gambit as a game mode is fantastic.
Yeah.
I was saying this with CJ earlier. When we played it at E3 for the first time, I had so much fun.
What happened in that match?
Dylan.
Oh, Dylan. Dylan montage CJ. But
what? We won the war, Dylan. But we won the war.
But I said right after that, I'm worried that once we get our full arsenal, this won't be as fun as we just had. Because we didn't have Sleeper. We didn't have Queen Breakers. We didn't have any like crazy heavy.
Well, we said that to Lars about burning the boss too, like tractor boss, cannon, like certain weapons like Iklos.
It's
a little bit.
It's not a fun experience for someone to invade Queen Breaker's bow, four people back to back to back. Like, it looks cool. Like, it looks awesome. But honestly, I don't think that's a great mechanic or great gameplay experience. And I've been saying this all the time. Just get rid of fusion rifles. But I think I wanted to ask you this, Dado. Do you think summoning the primeval and then just quickly melting and just DPS bursting is fun? Do you like that?
I do and I don't.
Okay.
I do like it because it's fun to just see a boss get completely insta-melted. Mm-hmm. But I don't because I feel like the original intent of the Gambit bosses was to be like a slower burn where mm-hmm. you slowly kind of chunk them down.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like you have to insta-give the boss in order to actually win.
Yeah.
I think it would make for much better drama mm-hmm. in from game to game if you couldn't just insta-kill the boss.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with everything you just said. I think it's hilarious to see the boss just disappear, and I think it's fun. But overall, I don't think that's a good Gambit mechanic. What I will say, though, is what they did with the meatball mm-hmm. when it turns immune for a bit.
Yes.
I think that's great. Mm.
Okay.
Like, you can melt it, but it will become immune, and then that gives you the other team more time to invade, creates yeah. more drama. If you get a kill, it gains its health back. I think all bosses should get that.
I've never gotten the meatball, so I don't know what that's like.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
I think Gambit is missing a couple things before it becomes like a perfect,
so,
not perfect, but really good game mode.
Doug and I did say that it was superb playing it based off our E3 perspective there initially, and we didn't have all our weapons. Mm-hmm. That's what I said from the very beginning, that right now the invasion part is one of the fun mechanics of the game. It's a thing that you have to get to because if you don't, I mean, the way that they built it into the 75 score, like a 25, 15, 75, or, well, 50, it makes sense. If the boss burns too fast, you don't get that gameplay loop, that mechanic, which is super fun to do. But I agree with you. Yeah, there should be something to gate the boss's health for a little bit to potentially maybe have that built in so you can't insta-melt him right off the bat. Yeah. And it's maybe by his health bars. Get to a health bar down. This thing, like you said, happens with Meatball where you have to do some kind of activity because you're in Gambit as a four-player squad.
Yeah.
So if you're in there, you can potentially have some kind of – because that's always a concern, I think, with campaign. They don't know whether or not it's going to be – you're going to have teammates or not. But you have teammates in Gambit. So build something in that, yeah, that has that kind of element.
Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm misunderstanding the mechanic. If you spawn first, why should I even try? Like if I'm 75% to filling the bar and you've spawned – why would I even continue going?
Well, the whole idea of it is even if the other team spawns a primeval, as long as you can invade and kill enough people, the primeval will get their health back, and that will allow your team to catch up. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's
so you can still get stacks; it's just not catch up stacks.
Yeah, but right now, what it is summon the primeval, kill the first invader, and then burst.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
and then it's over.
Yeah.
I don't think they were expecting that.
Yeah. Well, they kind of were. They had to have been. We asked and said that to Lars.
They were,
even
no, they
on
were
the
expecting,
show.
But I think they underestimated.
Yeah,
how good we would be
naturally. Yeah. Yeah, but that's the only reason why I think the gating thing, and you mentioned with mm-hmm. like Meatball, sorry Dustin, that does happen, and it's cool when it happens because all of a sudden you have to divert your attention from the boss and figure out this gameplay mechanic.
But I think what Dustin was saying is, with this new change, like they're going to lower the stacks, what is the point of the other team
sticking around? Yeah, I hear
that. To try to win.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the onus to try to come back should be on the team that is losing, not some arbitrary thing that happens to boost you up.
I agree.
I don't want mm-hmm. like it's basically rubber banding,
yeah.
right?
Right.
Like rubber banding is not fun because it doesn't feel like you're winning or like you can't stay ahead because people are intentionally given an advantage to keep things close.
Yeah.
For certain things, it's okay, but yeah, it's the onus should be on the invading team,
yeah.
or the losing team to try to make that victory yeah. happen instead of just like, oh, you just get a ton of invades and you set them so far behind because they keep having to spawn uh-huh. at different times and then, oh, no power ammo. Yeah, the team that's also behind, you get more power ammo drops. Mm-hmm. So that even furthers your ability to harass mm-hmm. the other team even more and they cannot do a lot back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
We're kind of running low on time, but I think the other points from DMG about bounties, I don't think anybody's going to argue that. That's double points. That's
yep.
great.
Yeah,
they were
fine.
So low.
Yeah, they were yeah. like 15 like, points or something like that.
All right,
yeah,
I guess I'll bring them, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then rewards, special weapon. I think that's going to be really cool. I already liked Bygones a lot.
Yeah, it's really good. To me, like I said this to them again at the event. I feel like I'm re-saying it now a whole bunch of times. Trials is special because you go to the lighthouse and picked up a treasure chest together when you achieve something and won like a mini tournament of five games.
And that's the only way you could get there. Now you do one game and you're – yeah, go ahead. Go check it out.
Exactly. And I think that if Gambit had some kind of incentive weekend thing like that, it might bring people in or it might have, you know, some kind of something – there needs to be something besides a weapon. There needs to be some kind of training. Meatball is that a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. you're playing Gambit probably every now and then to
I'll just pop in, do my daily, be like, I don't care.
But if it was like, hey, you know you're going to be able to do this if it's on the weekend and there's like maybe a little mini tournament thing that happens, I think that would be an incentive for people to play. And I think it would probably keep those people from quitting, because I do agree with you. I think it potentially comes an issue if that happens.
We'll see how it goes. I just think one might be a little bit too much, but we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they've tested it, and hopefully it works out.
I think we're thinking of it very much like, oh, the enemy team has seven and you get one. The amount of times that happens is
pretty rare.
Very rare. Like, yeah, most of the time it's going to be like, they have two, you get one. Or they have three, you get one. Like, it's going to be closer than that.
So overall, though, we're glad it's being, like, dealt with
in this
way.
I'm glad that they're trying something.
Me too.
Whether it works out or not, we'll see. But at least they're trying something.
Like, right now, the losing team should not be able to burst DPS and kill the boss in one shot right after they summon the Primeval.
Absolutely. Agreed.
There were a ton of questions that we actually didn't get to today, so we're going to save them for the next episode. Datto, I think most people know, but where can they find you?
You can find me on the internet.
D-A-T-T-O space Destiny. Just Google that, and you will find him.
Yeah, you'll find me.
Yeah, it's not hard to find this content.
It's out there.
Yeah, that's all we have time for this episode. Hey, thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
We always like having you on the show. Thanks for stopping by again. Yeah. All right, so that's it for this episode. Thank you, co-host. Thank you, Datto.
Appreciate it.
And until next time, everybody, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.